Today's study is titled, David Encouraged Himself in the Lord. I was brought up on our family farm. At the age of 11, my father began to make good use of me, helping on the farm. At the age of 13, I spent many hours working the land. And every other weekend, rising at 5:30 a.m. in the morning, I assisted my father milking the cows. I would often drift off to sleep the moment I sat down for a break. Then come Monday morning, I would be off to school. First a long bicycle ride, then by bus to the local city, some 10 miles away. When I first left school, for a short while I joined my father working on the farm. I did enjoy working on the farm, but I never could say I had a good relationship with my father. I never had a hearty conversation, except when he taught me how to plough the soil. He was a very good teacher. Sadly, my father would only speak to me when a job needed doing, or to reprimand me if I had done something wrong. I never received any kind of encouragement. As well as having hearty communication with one another, I believe there is one important thing which is vital if we want to have a good relationship with one another, and that is to encourage one another. Never be afraid to say thank you, and then to compliment one another and help one another, sharing the good things we have. As well as a lack of encouragement from my father, there was no love shown, which also is vital in a good relationship. The word encouragement is mentioned many times in the Bible. I would like to look at some and see what we can learn from them. We well know that a young child constantly looks to hear their mother and father talking to them, teaching and encouraging them. The Apostle says in Hebrews 10:23-25, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We do need to encourage one another. We know that when someone encourages us, we feel good inside. It warms our heart and spirit. We know that the one who encourages us cares about and appreciates us. In the Old Testament, we read about Joshua. After Moses died, Joshua took the responsibility of leading the nation of Israel into Canaan, the land of Israel as we know it today. We read what God said to the people through Moses before Joshua took over. God said in Deuteronomy 1:38, "But your assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, will enter it. Encourage him, because he will lead Israel to inherit it." When God appointed Joshua to take over, we read what God said to Moses in Deuteronomy 3:28. "But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead these people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see." It was the people's responsibility who Joshua was leading to encourage him. But in reality, that did not always happen. I see here a great example of what God is saying to the church today. I have often stood alongside the pastor and minister of our church and listened to the conversations the pastor has with his flock as they leave the church after a Sunday morning service. The pastor, with a warm heart, will ask each one how they are, listen to their joys and the difficulties they may be going through. I would often hear the members thank the pastor for a good message or sermon, but something I rarely heard the church members say was, "How are you, Pastor? Are you all right?" I know that we should have a great respect for our pastors and appreciate all they seek to do for us, guiding and helping us. We have to remember to thank our pastor for his support and help, which we all should not forget to do. On occasion, there are situations where we need lots of encouragement, especially when friends or members of our family or sometimes fellow Christians find a fault with us and criticize us. We can be greatly hurt. It takes time to get over the situation. We read of a time when the nations living close to the Israelites threatened war with Israel. It created fear in the people. It is what is still happening today. On this occasion, one nation did attack Jerusalem, breaking down the walls and blocking the water systems. But this is what we read in 2 Chronicles 32, 5-8. Then he, that is the king of Israel, King Hezekiah, worked hard, repairing all the broken sections of the wall and building towers on it. He built another wall outside that one and reinforced the terraces of the city of David. He also made large numbers of weapons and shields. He appointed military officers over the people and assembled them before him in the square at the city gate and encouraged them with these words, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. For there is a greater power with us than with him. With him is only the arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." And the people gained confidence from what Hezekiah the king of Judah said. Here we read the king encouraged the people and put his words into action by strengthening the walls of the city. Here is another great example. We as leaders should not just encourage with words, but with actions. Our pastor can be a shining example of that. But most important, the King Hezekiah reminded the Israelites that they have a greater power than their enemies. The king said, "With us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles." We have the Lord to fight our battles. King David often felt alone and fearful, especially in the early days of his life. God had appointed David to be the next king. Saul was jealous of him and sought constantly to kill him, but we read in 1 Samuel 30 verse 6, David found strength in the Lord his God. I can testify to God's faithfulness, reassurance and encouragement when I have found myself in a similar situation, struggling with an issue no one else can understand. I have found refuge in the Lord. He has given me strength and helped me through. Today, in our country of Britain, street preachers are being arrested for preaching, but we notice that wherever there is a build-up of persecution, the people begin to turn their hearts and seek God. I know that in Romania people are seeking and many folk are turning to our Saviour Jesus for refuge and giving their lives to him. In Romania there is a change taking place in people's hearts. They are more open, inquiring about the things of God, which excites me and encourages me. In the New Testament, we read about the church coming under persecution. The persecution resulted in Christians leaving their homes and going abroad. But the good news is, God's word and the story of salvation was being spread because of the persecution. We read in Acts 11:19-24. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to spread to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was on them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God has done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. The Apostle Paul reminds us that each one of us have been given a unique, special gift, which we need to use. Barnabas was an encourager. Paul says in Romans 12:6-8, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is in serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's in leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Let each one of us embrace what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 15:1-13 and verse 20. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbour for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you has fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, to confirm the promise made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and sing praise to him, all you people. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will rule over the nations. The Gentiles will hope in him. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I will not be building on someone else's foundation. Notice what Paul says in verse 4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We have in our hands the Word of God, which can bring great encouragement when going through difficult times. In Psalm 121 we read what David did when he was going through difficulties. This is what he says: I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Notice what the apostle said in the last verse of Romans 15, verse 20. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundations. I can say, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel to those who do not know Christ. Whenever we have opportunity, we should be ready to share the good news, the way of salvation, with anyone and everyone we meet. Let us remind ourselves again what Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus reminded the disciples what their mission was in John 15:16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that wherever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We will always be in debt, and so very grateful to Jesus for giving up his life to win our salvation. We should be forever thankful to him. Let us all seek to encourage one another. Those of you who have had any kind of leadership role will know how hard it can be. We meet all kinds of challenges, criticism, and hardships. Often we have no one we can turn to help us or give us advice. We're on our own. Moses, while leading the children of Israel in the desert, found himself being hounded by the people. We will often come across this phrase when Moses was being criticized by the people. Then Moses cried to the Lord. Moses knew where and who to call on in those lonely moments. Moses was known as the friend of God. God was only too willing to help and guide him. The title to my devotion is taken from another Bible story. David was leading the army of Israel, not knowing that the army of the Amalekites were destroying their cities and had taken the women, folk and children hostage. Does that ring bells with what has been happening in Israel today? We read in 1 Samuel 30:1-6, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burnt it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. In our modern age, everyone seems to be living at such a pace. They have no time and do not seem to seek the need to stop and rest, to restore. It is so needed when we get discouraged and not sure which way God is leading us. Just after Jesus had instituted the Last Supper, Jesus led the disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane, where we read in John 18:1-3, "When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples." This indicates it was a place where Jesus often spent time with his Father. We also read in Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. As a young Christian living at home with my parents, I would often drive to a quiet spot on our farm and park up, often a place where I could look out, giving me a panoramic view of God's wonderful creation. I would switch on the tape player and listen quietly to worship songs and hymns. It would often be a solo singer who I knew did not just sing with a good voice. It was a singer who was anointed with the balm of the Holy Spirit. The words of the songs would penetrate my spirit and warm my heart. My heart would dance with joy at the goodness of our God. While the songs of worship were warming my heart, I would be reading my Bible, reading words of comfort, words of encouragement, causing me to thank God for all he's done for me, thanking him for how much he was doing in my life, knowing in my heart he would continue to love, guide and encourage me as I continued to venture in his will. We regularly need that place of solitude, alone, to allow the voice of God to renew our spirits, to charge our spiritual batteries, to bring renewed strength, encouragement, peace and joy. The psalmist says in Psalm 41-4, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord." Here the psalmist was brought from a very low place, being lifted by the Lord to having a new song in his mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. He was now able to testify to his family and friends of God's goodness, resulting in others being blessed. He put a new song in his mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Discouragement can come from a number of circumstances. It just may be while conscientiously and in all sincerity you're seeking to live to God's divine ways, you may have found criticism which you may consider unjustified. Anne Penrose, author of Road to Romania, wrote these concluding words to her book: "We have found to know God's will is life's greatest treasure." And to do God's will is life's greatest pleasure. And together we have learned so much of him in the process. The Lord will indeed bring you great encouragement by just doing his will. Stop and reflect on how God has blessed you and enable you to help to change the lives of both non-Christians and Christian friends. When facing criticism, you can keep your head up high and thank God for the privileges he has given you to minister to the various folk you have met and experience the joy to see in their lives changed, which is encouragement in itself. Holding on to that thought, you can be reassured the Lord is pleased with you. At times, while in employment, I have been treated with criticism, with threatened demotion of the way I am working. But I have reminded myself and occasionally reminded them that whatever they seek to do to me, God is in charge of my life, so nothing can happen without his approval. Finding your security in the Lord gives you strength and encouragement. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid." Knowing that peace that Jesus can give you through the power of the Holy Spirit will bring an inner confidence and strength to face up to the discouragements we will meet. The writer of the hymn, "When Peace Like a River," was Horatio G. Spafford, who was a Chicago lawyer, friend of evangelists Moody and Sankey. His wife and daughters went on a holiday to Europe, but sadly the ship sank, with only his wife surviving. As a result, Horatio Spafford wrote this reassuring hymn, which reminds us of the peace we can know in the many trials we may face. Let's listen to the words of this hymn.